0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Please gamble responsibly.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic may be in the driving seat, but there is still work to do if they want to guarantee European football in the new year. The season's Champions League journey ends tonight, but the Europa League waits if Brendan Rodgers' men get anything better than a 3-0 defeat at home to Anderlecht. Elsewhere, Jason Holt says the Rangers players are all ready to impress the new manager, whoever and whenever that may be. And since it's a Tuesday night, we're here in the company of Roger Hanna of the Scottish Sun and Gordon Dalziel. Are we both fit, well and raring to go?
Yeah, I think so, Gordon.
You think so, Dazzler?
Yeah, a wee bit of a sore throat, but we'll get through it.
Oh, for goodness sake, you're such a martyr, honestly. 0141 951 1025 if you want to join us on the phone lines. Only one place to start tonight though: the big game in the East End of Glasgow, Celtic against Anderlecht. Here's Alison Conroy.
Yeah, cold December night in the East End of Glasgow as Celtic look to secure European football after Christmas. As you say, anything but a 3-goal defeat or more will give them just that. Anderlecht, of course, the visitors for the final Champions League group match of this campaign, and Brendan Rodgers wants to end it with their first home win. It was, of course, 3-0 Celtic in Brussels back in September, and the Anderlecht manager has joked that he doesn't think they're capable of winning 3-0 tonight, insisting they're not even talking about qualifying for the Europa League. All they want is a good result. Moussa Dembélé, of course, is fit to start tonight after recovering from an ankle knock, and Brendan Rodgers has already said he'd have no hesitation in giving some minutes to Saturday's hat-trick hero, Odson Edouard. Kick-off here at Celtic Park is 7.45. I'll bring you the teams as soon as I get them, Gordon.
OK, thanks to Alison Conroy. We'll check in with Alison once the teams get announced. You know the way this works on the big game nights, guys. Get in touch, let us know your pre-match predictions. What do you expect to see from Celtic tonight? Who do you want to see in that starting 11? 0141 951 1025, or of course we are on Twitter at ClydeSSB. Roger, it's a strange kind of game where Celtic can afford to lose 2-0 and still go through to the Europa League, but I'm sure Brendan Rodgers' team talk will be a bit more straightforward than that, won't it?
Yeah, they'll want to finish a group with a flourish. It was a fantastic performance, a fantastic result in Brussels in the reverse fixture against Anderlecht. It all but guaranteed Celtic, you know, European football after Christmas. They will want to finish the group with a home win in front of their own fans tonight. Difficult games already in the group against PSG, against Bayern Munich. They will want to sign off with a win, and they will look forward to the draw on Monday for the last 32 of the knockout stages of the Europa League.
Gordon Dalziel, any danger for you that Celtic can't get this over the line? They're obviously heavy favourites to make it into that third place.
No, I don't think that you know, there's any danger whatsoever, Gordon. I think they'll be comfortable tonight. You know, the confidence of getting away and winning 3-0. And then coming back to Celtic Park, scoring five on Saturday. It'll be interesting to see his team line up, because usually when you score a hat-trick, you're expecting to play the next game. I don't think he will. I think Dembélé will come back in. I think he'll make it very strong. He'll go for that one. He'll go to get it over the line. So I've got every confidence that Celtic will make it through tonight. I don't see any problems at all.
Roger, straight back into the team for Moussa Dembélé, or does Lee Griffiths come off the bench? Or are you one of the few out there who thinks that Odson Edouard could just command a start?
Odson Edouard will not start tonight. It'll be either Dembélé or Griffiths. If Dembélé's 85 or 90% fit, it will be Griffiths. If Dembélé's 100% fit, it will be Moussa Dembélé without doubt.
On Twitter, Barry Docherty's already getting his team suggestions in. He says that Griffiths must play. I suppose that's one that's always going to divide opinion. Gordon, as Roger said, about going out on a high sort of thing for Celtic from the Champions League, because it's been, I think everyone would acknowledge, it's been a difficult group in terms of PSG and Bayern Munich. So these were always going to be the games that Celtic could really show what they were capable of. They've done the business in Belgium. Do you expect Brendan Rodgers to be very keen to go out and put a convincing performance and win on this evening?
Yeah, because I think that's the way he goes about his business, Gordon, week in, week out. I think the remit, when you look at that draw, you look at the teams that were in that group, finishing third was always going to be them. We all know that Europa League was where, you know, Celtic were going to play their football. I think they'll do that comfortably tonight. And it must be a great headache that we're talking about three centre forwards. And after watching on Saturday, you would play any one of them. You know, coming off a hat trick, your confidence is incredible. But he'd probably get down the pecking order because Dembele's the main man, and then it's Griffiths. So he'll get down to third.
Brendan Rodgers says that Celtic's entire Champions League campaign has been a learning curve. We know that all they have to do tonight to secure a third place finish and Europa League is avoid the defeat of 3-0 or more. So that's the picture. It's pretty simple. But the manager wants them to replicate the 3-0 win they got in Brussels back in September.
In all the games, we've learned lessons from them. So, but certainly the result out there and the performance, we played very well. Anderlecht will obviously be disappointed, having been at home, and obviously us coming to there and winning, you know, quite convincingly. They've changed the coach, so they'll look at that as a, you know, as a positive. You know, we've watched a number of their games and they play quite well, so they'll come to attack, I'm sure, and look to get a victory. And for us, that's also what we want. You know, we want to give the supporters a Champions League victory at home. You know, we've been in two campaigns now. This being the last game of the Champions League campaign. It's been absolutely brilliant. The supporters have been incredible for us home and away. But it'd be nice for us to finish this campaign with a victory at home and take us to 6 points, which would again show, a great level of progress for us at this level.
It's obviously a chance, Roger, for Celtic, if they are going to make it to the Europa League, to get there in a confident frame of mind with a performance under their belt that might convince people that they can do something in the Europa League. Is that part of the thinking, or does it not really matter? Is just getting there by any way the main priority?
Well, listen, the Celtic fans rolling up at Parkhead tonight will want to see a victory. In the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter. A 2-0 defeat would take them through tonight, Gordon, you know that. And come February, when the knockout rounds start, what happened tonight really won't make any difference whatsoever. But all that said, you know, Brendan Rodgers spoke about the Celtic fans. They've travelled in their numbers to France, to Germany, to Belgium. They have seen a couple of defeats, a couple of heavy defeats in the group. So I think the Celtic players and the Celtic management will be keen to reward the supporters tonight, if you like, with a big performance and a big result. And what it might do is, it might just send out word around the other teams who are going to be in the draw on Monday that Celtic fancy their chances of getting through a couple of times.
0141 951 1025. Why not get in touch, give us your thoughts ahead of that game, your score predictions. Who would you like to see play up front in particular for Celtic? Let's start with Ian in Greenock. Hi Ian.
How you doing, Gordon?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Good evening, Roger. Good evening, Gordon.
Hi Ian.
I'm sorry to hear you have got sore throats, guys.
Oh, listen, don't let him kid you. He's always moaning about something, Ian.
Gordon, yourself, mate, you were at a game on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I spoke to you briefly. I think I was the first one on the show on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. And the young boy, I know Roger says that the young boy Edward will not start. I don't think he'll start tonight either. Mm-hmm. He'll obviously be on the bench. But question is, Gordon, you played centre forward. Just looking at watching the game and looking at the boy's stature, knowing his mobility and that, does he? I know he's younger than Dembele, but he looks similar. Hey, Gordon, what do you think?
Ian, I actually knew you were going to come out of that. I totally agree with you. Watching him on Saturday, yes, he looks very similar to Dembele. I thought his movement, I did say that in the show, I thought his movement, his touch, everything was superb. And to get three goals obviously gives him so much confidence. It's unfortunate just now that the way Celtic play with one striker, you've got Dembele in front of you, you get Griffiths in front of you, but the lad can only do what he was shown in Saturday. When you get the opportunity, try and make sure you're always in the manager's thoughts, and he certainly put himself in the manager's thoughts with a hat trick. I thought he was different class at the weekend. I really did. Yep. I've not watched a lot of him. I actually forgot all about him, to be honest with you. But when I seen him,
it's not just you, to be fair. He hasn't played
not,
too often.
Not exactly, Gordon. But I'll say one thing. He looks a real, real good talent. He really does.
And for 19 years of age as well, it's ridiculous. You know, you see the goals you scored at the weekend, you struggle to believe that he's 19 years of age. He's a real physical specimen, as you say. There are comparisons out there with Dembele as well, who's still young in his own right. Be interesting to see now how Celtic take the odds on Edouard thing forward, and whether you know they decide that he's worth the outlay that PSG will want to make the deal permanent.
Can I come back, Gordon?
Yes, of course, Ian.
My prediction tonight, 1-0, I'll be happy with. I'll be even happy with a draw, because that takes us into the European football after the new year. Roger, a wee one for yourself, mate. Figures, no, the end of this group stage. Obviously, didn't expect to get into the four games. And I always say to my dad and things like that, my friends, that Anderlecht was a knockout between, you know, for third place. Celtic won the night, Roger. Would that not take their revenue close to £35 million?
Yeah, it might well do. I don't have the sums to hand, but yeah, that sounds as if it's
It's a bit. It's over a million. It's over a million for a win, I think it is, in the group stage. So it's,
and you get 350,000 for a goal as well, apparently.
So Roger, that adds an extra incentive to what we were talking about a minute ago. In fact, you know, it's one thing saying, well, listen, we can get beat 2-0 and still make it to the Europa League, but
there are huge rewards on offer for progress in European football, as Ian says. Even just individual wins, you know, the fact Celtic went and won 3-0 in Belgium as opposed to a 1-1 draw or something, you know, they pick up prize money for all of that, so it can be very rewarding. I don't think that'll be the first thing on Brendan Rodgers' mind tonight. The first thing
on
Scott Brown's mind.
What's the permutations for tonight? Is Anderlecht go through with a 3-0, or they got to score 4?
No, they would go through with a three goal win,
simply because their goal difference is slightly better. Better than Celtic's. So if they match the 3-0 that Celtic won by in Brussels, they would go through. But I don't think any of us can see that happening.
That'd be an nervy night, that, for you.
I know it would be, Gordon.
I'm looking forward to it, Gordon.
This is my first game at Parkhead this season. The ticket came up through my uncle. My young cousin hurted his neck, so he can't get up in that weather. So,
well,
I'm looking forward to it.
Hope you enjoy it on his behalf, Ian. Thanks for giving us a call this evening. That was Ian in Greenock. Gordon, if you're Anderlecht, and I know our focus is bound to be on Celtic, given that we're in Glasgow, that's the way things are. If you're Anderlecht, how do you go about a game like this? I mean, do you just absolutely fly out the traps and throw everything at it?
I think you've got to, Gordon. And I think that's what will play right into Celtic's hands, because I think Celtic are a very good counter-attack side, with the pace they've got, with the movement they've got from the middle of the park to the front men to the wide areas. So I think it will suit Celtic tonight, because you have to come out and try and get at least an early goal, put a little bit of pressure on the home side. So I think that it'll be a case of on the front foot for them, try and get at Celtic, but I just think Celtic will have too much in the locker.
Roger, what will Celtic have taken from that game in Belgium? Because if you remember, it wasn't the quickest start we've ever seen from Celtic. No. It took them quite a while to find their way into the game, and it was almost that one terrific pass from Cham which set Kieran Tierney away, and it seemed to unlock everything, and it fell into place thereafter.
Well, they'll have taken reams of confidence from the way they played after that. The way they put the game to bed, the way the distance they put between themselves and Anderlecht in terms of this playoff almost for the Europa League place, they will see it out tonight. They will be in the draw on Monday, and it'll be fascinating to see who they get, because there'll be some decent teams other than Celtic dropping out of the Champions League this midweek. I think if Atletico Madrid don't win at Chelsea tonight, they would be one. And there are some decent teams in the Europa League already. I saw Atletico Bilbao at the weekend drawing with Real Madrid, and that showed their quality. Arsenal are there as well, potentially. Or I think they're already through. So there could be some difficult ties in there. But also, there could be some winnable ties, Gordon.
On Twitter, Scotty G says, I predict Celtic will win 4-0. No nerves here. And John Shields is on as well. He says, it will be a different Anderlecht tonight, but if Celtic can avoid defeat, that will show progress in Europe. What else can we realistically expect from that group? John Paul is in Fauldhouse. How are you?
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Hello.
A couple of points tonight. Just all the at the start of the group, everybody knew it was going to come down to Celtic v Anderlecht. And obviously it has come down to that. Now, albeit, hats off to Celtic and Brendan Rodgers for going over there and winning 3-0. I just think if we didn't win 3-0, obviously over there, it would have been a lot more trickier than tonight, quite clearly. But I just think, obviously, Anderlecht's got, if they had to win 3-0, they've got a better goal difference. It's not slightly better. I'm sure it's 6 or 7 goals in it now. They were better against the two best teams in the group, against us. I want to know how you think Celtic will approach the game tonight. So if they will play with it on the counter. And my other point was, if we do qualify for Europa League, where do you think Celtic's target, their aim is, how far they can go in the Europa League?
Just before I let the guys answer, John Paul, Celtic do have a better goal difference at the moment than Anderlecht. It just means that if Anderlecht were to win 3-0 tonight, then obviously it would be a swing. So Celtic do have a better goal difference at the moment.
That's what I mean. If they had to win 3-0, their goal would be better because we've got more against us.
Sorry.
I think this is tailor-made for Celtic, Gordon. I really do. I think that Anderlecht have got to go and gamble, put men forward, put people in the front areas, try to get that first goal, which would put a little bit of excitement in the game, especially for the Celtic supporters. But I just think it's tailor-made for them. I think Celtic have got too much. I think they've got players in, as I touched on, wide areas, centre forward, for instance. Who will he play up top? Middle of the park. I think Celtic will just go, and I think they'll expose the spaces that Anderlecht will leave. And I think Celtic will win this comfortably. I really do.
Roger, on the second point, it's a really difficult question because the Europa League has varying teams with really varying degrees of difficulty in it, doesn't, like you say, you mentioned some of them, and if you look at the Champions League as well, the teams that are going to drop in as the other third place finishers in the group, so there could be some real strong teams there, and I guess it's the luck of the draw to an extent.
Well, it really is the luck of the draw, because you see some of the teams likely to be through. You know, there's the likes of Östersund from Sweden, who Billy Reid, the old Hamilton manager, is now assistant manager out there, a decent side, but they wouldn't terrify you. The likes of Sheriff Tiraspol from Moldova look as if they'll qualify. An awkward trip, but it wouldn't terrify you. But then, you know, Celtic could draw an Atletico Madrid, an Arsenal, an AC Milan. You imagine that, Reno Gattuso coming back to Celtic Park. They could get a Villarreal.
They're watching a goalkeeper score against them at the weekend.
Well, indeed. So, you know, there are awkward draws there, but as we say, there are also some, you know, some winnable draws there. You know, the Celtic want a Lazio at this stage, possibly not, but if they can get a bit of momentum, get a winnable draw in the last 32 and get a bit of confidence in the competition, they maybe could go a couple of rounds.
Okay, thanks to John Paul. Something that I really want to discuss with you before we get the travel with Amber. Wishing Christmas with Wholesale Domestic Bathrooms Hillington, caring about children in Glasgow and the West. Clyde One. Now, Gordon DL assures me that his Christmas jumper is ready to go. He's been getting it made especially. I touched on it last week. Half Man City, half Motherwell. Rudolph on the front. Yeah, just to be clear. Okay, that's because our Christmas Jumper Day Cash for Kids is on Friday, the 8th of December. So that's just a couple of days away. Still plenty of time, though, for you to look out an old jumper or go and buy a new one if that's the way you want to do it. And it all goes towards just making a bit of difference on our Cash for Kids Mission Christmas 2017. It's well underway already, so a big thanks to everyone who's already donated. If you want to get involved, then, like I say, Christmas jumpers on Friday, and it doesn't really matter where you work. If you're in a school or an office block, maybe even you're a taxi driver, get the Christmas jumper on and have a bit of fun this year as well. If you want to donate £5 to a really worthy cause, then all you have to do is text the word Clyde to 70808. That's Clyde to 70808, and your full donation goes towards helping the kids who really do need it most within Glasgow and the West. We'll hopefully get teams from Celtic Park after the travel with Amber. Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly. Roger Hanna of the Scottish Sun and Gordon DL are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Team news from Celtic Park won't be too far away, so you have to act quick if you want to get in and give us your predictions of who you want to see play for Celtic from the start tonight. Let's get back to the phones and speak to Jim in Dalmuir. He's got some thoughts on that subject. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Roger, sorry.
Hey, Jim.
Gordon.
Two Gordons and a Roger.
Two Gordons. I was just thinking of the team tonight, and I was thinking maybe it could be maybe Lustig, Boyata, Simovic and Tierney, Forrest, Armstrong, Brown, Sinclair, McGregor and Dembele. But I was just wanting to put a wee point to your panel was, I know they've not done it often and they've maybe tried it once, but do you think they could play Griffiths and Dembele both?
No, I don't think they will, Jim. They've tried it before. It's not been what you would say really successful. I think both players like to play as a lone striker. So it's just a case of Brendan Rodgers having so many riches there to pick the best one he feels on the night will give him the best chance to win the game.
Yeah.
And I think when it comes up to the big games, Dembele is the man that will start all the time. And I think this is a big game tonight. I think they'll want to put it over a line. So I think that if he's fit, 100% fit, I don't think they'll take any chances with him. But if he's 100% fit, I think he will start the game. But I don't see them going with two. He's got a formation. The formation works for Celtic. The midfield, the wide guys, the guy up front. It doesn't matter who you play up there, they'll always score goals. So I think Brendan Rodgers likes a lone striker.
Do you not think sometimes that maybe Griffiths gets a wee bit aggrieved at the fact that he can't be the person in front, even though Dembele gets fit and is fit? I know he's a great striker and all that, and I know Griffiths is a great striker, but I'm just thinking...
Jim, I think it's just the way that Brendan Rodgers, his man management, because if you see Griffiths, for instance, he's a goal scorer, he's been terrific. And even when he's left out, you would never question his attitude. His attitude is absolutely superb. Yeah. He comes on that park, he's desperate to be on the park, he's desperate to get goals. When he starts a game, you can see the hunger in him. It's just unfortunate that, you know, and you even add the lad in, Edward, and Saturday.
That's what I was thinking.
Do you think three good strikers. You know, I don't think so. I think that obviously the boy we touched on is a striker. If you score three goals in any team, you're probably expecting to start the next game. I don't think you'll start it, and that shows you the strength that Celtic have got up front.
See, one other big thing I was going to say to you, Gordon, is Anderlecht do happen to win 3-0 tonight, Touchwood, and I looked at the goal difference. If they won 3-0, would that still put us out?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But our goal difference is better than theirs.
Yes, but if you add three goals onto theirs and take three away from yours, because you would concede three goals and they would score three.
I've got Celtic minus 12 and I've got them minus 16.
Uh-huh.
So if we could beat 3-0, that would still make us one ahead, no?
No, it wouldn't, because their goal difference would improve by three, which at that point you would be correct, but then Celtic's would worsen by three as well, so it'd be a swing and Celtic would be out.
Oh, 15 and Everton right. Would be 13, yeah.
You had me worried there, Jim. I felt like it was an arithmetic lesson. I was panicking in case I'd got it wrong.
Right, and I was thinking, so three, we would still be one ahead, but I get it now, so we'd be 15, they'd be... Yeah, I get it.
There we are. That's fine, Jim. Jim just did a bit of thinking out loud, Roger. We're definitely on the right track with that one.
Yeah. The sums are reasonably straightforward. If Celtic avoid a three-goal defeat, they are through.
There we are. Thanks to Jim in Dalmuir. Now, it's not just Anderlecht, the team who have made the trip from Belgium for tonight's Champions League tie. I was in Glasgow City Centre today and noticed lots of fans walking around, the purple scarves and whatnot on. Well, our sports reporter Ronnie Charters has been catching up with the Brussels Celtic Supporters Club. Not sure if you knew there was such a thing, but there is. He's been speaking to them today. He's made the trip to Glasgow for every game, both domestically and in Europe, and he gave us an insight into what the Anderlecht camp is perhaps thinking ahead of that game tonight.
Celtic, I suppose, Brussels Supporters Club was founded by a guy called Conor O'Leeson around O'Neill. Martin O'Neill took over, and it's existed since then. And we have a regular basis fan of up to 50, maybe more, depends on the seasons. And it's a mixture of Belgium supporters, the Scots and Irish, and it's a new crack.
You'll know Anderlecht a lot more than we will and see them a lot closer. This time round, new manager, how much of a different test will they be to Celtic than they were in Brussels?
Well, it's going to be a test for starters because they were very poor in Anderlecht. Actually, Guston, last manager, is hit. I think the pressure from their coach will going to end in Buta, so they will go for a win. They will come out a lot stronger than in Brussels. So,
what was the reaction back home when that, because obviously no one really expected them to be beaten 3-0 by Celtic. Was there a backlash from the whole of the town
was in shock because it was so poor. But it was, they had it coming for a few weeks. They were losing league games against minor Belgian teams, and of course then came PSG. They got another 5 from PSG, but they said, "Oh, it's PSG. We got 7 from them." But then we came, blew them off the park,
and with their new manager, you know, it will be a tougher test. But what's your thoughts ahead of this one, Jerry?
I think it's going to be a close match. As I said before, I think it's going to be a 2-1. I think Celtic will still be good enough on the night. The atmosphere will come into play. These players from Anderlecht are not going to sample an atmosphere like Celtic Park, and I think the fans will have their role to play, and we should get a win, but it'll be very close.
We do have some team news from Celtic Park. Here's Alison Conroy.
Yeah, not many surprises in the Celtic team tonight. It will be Craig Gordon in goal, a back four of Mikael Lustig, Dedryck Boyata, Jozo Simonovic and Kieran Tierney in front of them, Scott Brown and Stuart Armstrong. Then it will be James Forrest, Callum McGregor and Scott Sinclair. And Moussa Dembélé returns to the starting 11 up top. On the bench for Celtic tonight, De Vries, Beaton, Griffiths, Rogic, Cham, Edouard and Ayer.
Thanks to Alison Conroy bringing us that Celtic team. What do you make of it? Are you happy with that starting 11? 0141 951 1025. Gordon, I don't think there's any surprises there.
No, it's a very attacking team. There's goals in that side, Gordon. There's good energy, good movement. Armstrong for the middle of the park. McGregor just playing in behind Dembélé. You've got the wide areas. Forrest, we never touched on him. He must be just wanting to play every single game. The confidence. His goals against Motherwell I thought were terrific at the weekend as well. So no, they're bags of pace, bags of energy, bags of movement. I think they'll be too strong for Anderlecht tonight, and I think they will win this comfortably.
Roger, I noticed, I think it was in your newspaper today and many others, Brendan Rodgers talking about James Forrest being, you know, one of the best players he's worked with. Essentially was I'm not quoting him exactly, but that was the mood he was given over in terms of how impressed he's been by James Forrest. We saw the stats in recent weeks about the League Cup final goals that he scored in, matching Bobby Lennox. He's still relatively young, when you were mid-20s,
yeah,
certainly racking up a fair few number of trophies as well. Still seems to divide opinion amongst the Celtic fans at times, though.
I'm not sure he divides opinion the way he once did. If you look at this team tonight, Gordon, for all the debate we have on the show about team selection, this team in the last couple of months has emerged as Brendan Rodgers' first choice team. Simunovic and Boyata are the centre halves. Armstrong is now clearly ahead of Ncham alongside Scott Brown. McGregor is clearly ahead of Rogic. Dembélé is clearly ahead of Griffiths. And whether Patrick Roberts is fit or not, and unfortunately looks as if he's going to be in the sidelines for the next 3 months, James Forrest was ahead of Patrick Roberts. And he was ahead of Patrick Roberts for the reason that he has been as consistent and has shown as good form as anyone in the country has in the first half of this season. He has emerged as a first pick for Scotland, emerged as a first pick for Celtic. And Jim Duffy, in our newspaper, The Scottish Sun, last week, started the ball rolling for James Forrest as a potential Footballer of the Year.
Lewis McCafferty's on Twitter. He says, "That's a strong team. I expect a very good game, but Celtic to win comfortably in the end." Stevie's in Barrhead. Hi, Stevie.
How you doing?
Not too bad.
Hi,
how are you?
I'm very well, thanks.
Good
even
stuff.
To Roger and my friend Gordon.
Hi, Stevie. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I'm still actually laughing at that last chat there. I should do my shoes and socks off.
I did not expect to be having an arithmetic lesson tonight, Stevie, I must admit. But listen, I think we got there in the end.
Got there in the end. Quick point on the team. It was pretty much the team that I thought it was going to be, purely because I know we're playing at home, but as you guys have already touched on, they're going to have to come out. And I think it really does play into our hands tonight. We've got so much pace going forward, not only with Dembélé, Forrest and Sinclair, but with Armstrong coming through as well. But I think it will still be a controlled performance. It won't be gung-ho, but just the fact that we can maybe sit back a wee bit more than we would normally do at home and then hit them on the break, I think it really plays into our hands. So I really fancy us to get a good result tonight. The other point was on the boy Edouard. I was at the game on Saturday myself, and couldn't agree more with the stuff that other people have said about the boy. He looked fantastic. Gordon, you said yourself, a great touch, great pace. He made great runs, everything about it. He really bullied the two Motherwell centre halves, which in the two games preceding it, obviously Motherwell were going on about how they were going to be aggressive and all that, and they clearly were, but they weren't on Saturday, and partly I think was because Edouard was fantastic at holding the ball up and he really bullied them. But something I noticed on Saturday, and the last caller touched about it with Griffiths, saying how if he's a sub, he comes on and he still gives 100%. And I think it's something that Rodgers, his man management skills are so good that as soon, I don't know if you noticed it yourself, Gordon, on Saturday, but as soon as he scored his hat-trick, the first thing he did was he ran over to Brendan Rodgers. And for a boy that's not really had a sniff for the whole first half of the season, come on out the blue like that, get a hat-trick, it shows you the relationship and how much he must appreciate what Rodgers is doing for him in his game as well. So, without jumping the gun, you know, he's no Moussa Dembele yet, but it wouldn't be surprising if Dembele's going to go at some point, and it might just be that they take a chance on this boy as a almost like a ready-made replacement. They would have to pay some kind of fee for him, obviously, but if they're getting, you know, 20, 30 million, which is what the figures for Dembele are quoted, and they're having to pay, I don't know, between 5 and 10 million for this boy with a view to maybe selling him on again, it might just be that's a problem solved for the striking.
Stevie, I think it's hard to believe that the boy's only still 19. He's a terrific football player for 19. I know that he's not had a lot of game time, but just watching him, you can tell a player by his movement off the ball, his, you know, link up play. He caused Motherwell all sorts of problems at the weekend. I thought he was excellent, the boy. He looks like he enjoys playing football. As I say, unfortunately for somebody like him getting into the team at 19, he will realise that Lee Griffiths and Dembele are in front of him in the pecking queue. Of that, we all know. But he just has to keep working away, scoring his goals, and then see where it takes him. But I was delighted for him. And as I keep touching on it, and I've been a striker myself in days gone by, when you score three goals, you're hoping that you're going to play the next game. But I think the young lad will be quite happy. Brendan Rodgers will have pulled him aside and says, look, this might not be the game for you tonight. We'll get you on, or you can come on and make a difference. But Saturday was terrific for your progress in the Celtic side. So the boy just has to do what everybody else does. Wait in line for his chance, and when he gets a chance, keep doing what he's doing. Put the ball in the back of the net.
Plenty more as we build up to Celtic against Anderlecht in the Champions League this evening. We're going to hear from Rangers midfielder Jason Holt. That's after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Gordon Dalziel and Roger Hanna are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. A quick recap of that Celtic starting 11 if you missed it. Craig Gordon in goal, a back four of Mikael Lustig, Jozo Simonovic, Dedrick Boyata and Kieran Tierney, Scott Brown and Stuart Armstrong are the holding midfielders. Then it's James Forrest, Callum McGregor and Scott Sinclair in behind Moussa Dembele. So plenty more build up as far as that game is concerned. But in the meantime, Sean is a Rangers fan in Craig End. He's got a question for the panel. Hi Sean.
It's just to see, who do you think's got to get the Rangers job? Do you think it's got to be Derek McGinnis? It's been dragging out for too long, but I actually think there's a lot better managers out there than Derek. Let's just see what you're thinking of.
This is,
and we could actually get them from, there's people out of jobs like Billy Davis, Alex McLeish, Harry Redknapp. I think they would do a much better job than Derek.
This is no disrespect to Sean at all, but this could have been a call from any night in the past 5 weeks, Roger. And I guess Sean just summing up there the questions that are still remaining unanswered. So I'll hand it over to you and you can try and answer Sean's question.
Groundhog Day, any Tuesday for the past 6 weeks, Gordon. My worry is it'll be any Tuesday for the next 6 weeks as well. I don't understand it. I have been in the media for an awful long time. I can never remember a job vacancy like this before. I think everyone has agreed that Rangers will target Derek McInnes, and it hasn't happened so far. And you just wonder if there is one final twist left in this saga. I've absolutely no idea what that twist might be, because if Sean had phoned 6 weeks ago, I would have said, I think Rangers will go for Derek McInnes any day now. And if he'd phoned 5 weeks ago, I'd have said the same in 4 weeks and 3 weeks. You know where this is going, Gordon. I just don't understand it. I don't understand where the delays are. If you're to listen to Derek McInnes after Rangers won at Pittodrie on Sunday, he doesn't seem to understand it either. So absolutely baffling.
Roger, you obviously you've been in this game a long, long time. Do you think the fact that losing back-to-back games against Rangers would maybe put the board off a little bit? Because no disrespect, you know, you're talking about a guy that's going to take over at Rangers. You're talking that he was once mentioned for instance, the Scotland job as well. And you go up against an under-20s coach and you've lost back-to-back games. Do you think maybe the board have taken a step back?
If you listen to people who are close to the board, then no. I understand the point you're making. People will say the next Rangers manager is going to have to carry the fight to Brendan Rodgers, and they will look at Derek McInnes's record in head-to-head games against Brendan Rodgers. People will say, how can he be ahead of Graham Murty in the pecking order when he just lost home and away to Graham Murty by an aggregate 5-1? I understand all of that, but, you know, we are in the business of trying to understand what the Rangers board are going to do, and still everything points to the Rangers board wanting Derek McInnes.
I suppose the counter-argument to what Gordon's suggesting, Roger, would be that that may be seen as being a bit short-sighted. If you've done serious due diligence on someone and you've gone through everything and arrived at the conclusion that he's the man you want, it would be a bit silly to allow two games to derail that, would it not?
Yeah, possibly. There's a possibility. People are saying to me that the Rangers board deliberately wanted to get these two games against Aberdeen out of the way before making an approach to Aberdeen. I could have understood that had the approach gone in yesterday. It didn't. Had the approach gone in today, it hasn't. Will the approach go in tomorrow? If it doesn't, it's threatening to destabilise Aberdeen again, because they've got a game on Friday night and it's a big game for them against Dundee at Dens Park, a Dundee team that's won back-to-back games. And it's at a time when Aberdeen, who looked well set in second, are now behind Rangers and have Hibs breathing down their necks.
Has the weekend, in fact, has the last week's football changed your opinion at all on the race for second, Gordon?
Yes, it has. I know that everybody talks about Aberdeen with the squad they've got, Gordon, and the players they've got. I've never been overly impressed with Aberdeen, I've got to say.
This season?
Yeah, watching them. I think Hugh Keevans has got a great saying that he used to have with the Rangers manager: show them a big game and you'll see a failure. I think Aberdeen are like that as a team. Show them a big game, they're not up to it. And my point that I was saying to Roger there was quite simple. If Derek McInnes had won the last two games against Rangers, I think that all the Rangers supporters would be saying, yep, he's a man, he will take us forward, he will go and try and challenge Celtic and Brendan Rodgers. But when you lose back-to-back games, and especially the way they lost them, then I think there's a lot of Rangers supporters out there questioning, is this the right guy to take Rangers forward?
John's also a Rangers fan in Parkhead. Hi, John.
Hi, how you doing? All right, good evening.
Hello.
Hi.
Just want to make a couple of points. Roger, just before we go any further, I'm led to believe that the official approach will be made tomorrow regarding Derek McInnes.
Again, though, John, various people have told me that every day for the last 5 weeks. Now, right. One of these days, I'm not knocking what you're saying, because one of these days somebody's going to be right, and it may well be you, and it may well be tomorrow. But to be honest with you, I think all of us would heave a mighty sigh of relief if it was tomorrow, because eventually this saga is going to have to come to an end, one way or another.
Can I make the points I want to speak about, if you don't mind, eh? I want to go back to the game on Sunday. I want to go back to the two shocking tackles made by Andrew Shinney and McLean on James Tavernier and Jason Holt. Shocking. And while I'm on, Roger, there was a tackle at Fir Hall. I can't remember the Australian boy who plays for
Ryan Tindall. Edwards.
And he done Ryan Jack. Done Ryan Jack, and then Willie Collins, the referee, and nothing happened. Exact same tackle. I'm led to believe, Roger, in your paper tonight, just come out, and I've read it on Twitter. There's no serious damage done to Stevie, mate.
Just to be clear then, John, so you think that the Ryan Edwards tackle should have been a sending off?
Correct.
So do you think Ryan Jack's was a sending off then?
Ryan Jack's won the ball.
So you think Ryan Edwards was a sending off, but not Ryan Jacks?
Because I think they won the ball. Ryan Jack won the ball.
No, I'm not arguing with you. I'm just trying to clear up what you're saying in terms of comparing those two tackles.
There you go, pal. Say 28 quid, pal.
John phoning us from his taxi.
So I'll tell you what, it's a dear taxi. 28 quid.
I wonder where he's been going. That's some fair that. I'll put your point to Roger whilst John sorts out his business in the background.
He's obviously fed up with people talking behind his back.
About the tackles, Roger. Listen, these rage on and on, don't
they? Here you go. In order, Ryan Edwards, and we've spoken about this since about August. It was probably a red card. In fact, it was a red card, and it wasn't given. Ryan Jack at the weekend. Nowadays, Gordon, in this game we play, if you follow through like that, you're risking a red card. I would liken it to Paul Pogba the night before against Arsenal at the Emirates. I don't think Paul Pogba deliberately tried to follow through on Hector Bellerin, but he did follow through. And it was a kind of ugly tackle, and he's got a three-game ban. The Manchester United are not appealing. Ryan Jack, quite similar. I don't think he went out to intentionally hurt Stevie May, but he followed through. He caught Stevie May. Willie Collum saw it as a red card. Rangers are appealing. I think they'll do well to get this one overturned on Thursday.
I think, based on what John was saying there, Gordon, if he's going to bring up the Ryan Edwards one and say that should have been a red card, then I'm wondering if his real problem here is with the inconsistency rather than the decision in isolation to send off Ryan Jack. The frustration on John's part is coming from a few months ago when the referee didn't send off Ryan Edwards, and that's where it does become difficult, because you're trying to compare in two different tackles and try and see where they're similar, where they're dissimilar, what outcome one had, what outcome the other one had.
Yeah, I think it's just on the day, Gordon, how the referee sees the tackle. Remember, we sat here and we were even texting each other at the weekend about decisions that happened last week. We had about three or four views of it. We changed our mind every second, saying, was it a penalty kick? Was it not a penalty kick? But the referee has one look at it. And I think that what John's saying is, when you look at the initial tackle, Ryan Jack does get in and wins the ball clearly. But it's then what happens after that. He goes falling right through, and it looks a nasty, nasty tackle. So I can understand why he was given a red card. But these are the debates that we'll have every week here, because people will turn around and say, like Ryan Edwards, he should have been sent off. I do agree with Roger. I think he should have been red carded. But you can get through 100 of these every season.
That's the thing though. If you're saying that he should have been sent off, that's not then proof that Ryan Jack shouldn't have been, if that makes sense.
No, but it's how the referee sees that, Gordon. It's as simple as that. When you see it in slow motion, he clearly wins the ball. First and foremost, he wins the ball. It's what happens after that. He follows right through, and it looks a nasty one.
Right, I know Amber usually does this, but hopefully I can do it with minimal fuss. There has been a collision on the M8 eastbound at Junction 27, Whitecart Viaduct. It's just after the airport, so if you're heading from the airport into town, three cars involved in the fast lane. Emergency services still not on the scene, so please do be careful upon approach if you are in that vicinity.
Beat the pundit with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
It is Beat the Pundit time though. If you fancy your chances against Roger Hanna or Gordon Dale, then now is the time. Go pick up the phone and dial 0141 951 1025 and you could play Beat the Pundit after the news.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.
Gordon DL and Roger Hanna are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. As you would expect, we're building up to kick off Celtic against Anderlecht. We're going to hear from Rangers midfielder Jason Holt very soon as well. But let's do this.
Beat the Pundit with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Just approaching 7:05, as always, the time to play Beat the Pundit. Tonight's contestant is from Tory Glen. He's a Celtic fan and his name is Anton Horton. Hi, Anton.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Yeah, not bad, you?
Hi, good. Just on the way to the game.
What are your thoughts ahead of that one?
I'm going to go with 2-0 Celtic.
Okay, comfortable-ish evening for you then.
Aye.
Okay. You confident about this Beat the Pundit?
I'm a wee bit nervous.
A bit nervous, don't listen. So, don't get nervous. Gordon DL doesn't get nervous. Roger Hanna. Mark Wilson, he gets nervous. His face goes a bright shade of red. But no nerves in here, Anton. It's just the three of us, honestly. I'm going to toss the coin anyway. Heads, it's Roger Hanna. Tails, it's Gordon DL. So let's see who you're
go
up against.
See it.
It's heads.
Anton.
There we are. It's one of the old pound coins I've got now as well, and I can't use it for anything else, so it just stays in here. Okay. For Beat the Pundit. Quite a good system. Anyway, you're going to play against Roger Hanna. Anton, thoughts on that?
That was probably the easier one, wasn't it?
I don't know about that.
Thanks, Anton.
That's the biggest compliment Gordon DL's ever had.
I'm chuffed, Anton.
Right, okay, let's get Clyde 2 for Roger Hanna so that he can't steal your answers. Anton, it's 30 seconds head to head. Remember, you can pass. Here's your chance to beat the pundit. Just be quick with your answers. That's the wee clue I'd give everyone, okay? Right, let's do it. Name any of the four players who were late arriving to St Johnstone's game against Kilmarnock at the weekend.
Pass.
Who scored Aberdeen's only goal in the loss to Rangers on Sunday?
Pass.
Which Celtic player will set a new Scottish record of 69 appearances in the Champions League tonight?
Brown.
How many points adrift are Partick at the bottom of the Premiership?
7.
Goalkeeper Alberto Brignoli scored the last minute header in the Serie A for which team against AC Milan? Which country was Ross County's Alex Schalk born in?
Finland.
Okay, let's bring Roger Hanna back. Are you with us, Mr. Hanna?
Oh, can I go back to Clyde 2? That was Blondie. I was quite enjoying that.
You happy with that?
Yeah.
Good choice tonight. Good stuff. Well, we're glad you're back with us anyway. Same set of questions to you, okay? Name any of the four players who were late arriving for St Johnstone's game against Kilmarnock.
Chris Miller.
Who scored Aberdeen's only goal in their loss to Rangers on Sunday?
Frank Ross.
Which Celtic player will set a new Scottish record
Scott
of 69
Brown.
Appearances? There we are. How many points adrift are Partick at the
4.
Bottom of the Premiership? Goalkeeper Alberto Brignoli scored a last minute header in the Serie A for which team against AC Milan?
Benevento.
Which country was Ross County's Alex Schalk born in?
Holland.
Which county in England has launched its own international football team?
Which county?
Mm-hmm. Time's up.
No, I've absolutely
okay.
no idea.
Let's go. How are you feeling about that, Anthony? He was quite confident sounding, wasn't he?
Got a chance tonight.
Well, he sounded as if he knew his stuff, but sometimes that's just part of the act. Let's go through them. Name one of four players who were late arriving to St Johnstone's game. You had the choice, Anton, of Richard Foster, Michael O'Halloran, Chris Miller and Denny Johnson. Were you ever late arriving at a game, Gordon DL?
Never ever.
Never? Always
never.
On time?
I'm always early.
Okay, good for you. Roger was right with Chris Miller. Anton, you passed that one. You also passed the second one and the answer was Frank Ross. So Roger races into a 2-0 lead. You were on the money with the third one though. Scott Brown sets a new Scottish record of 69 appearances in the Champions League tonight. So 3-1 to Roger at this stage. He did make it 4-1 though. Partick Thistle are 4 points adrift at the bottom. I'm going to be honest, Anton, I just really liked your attempt at pronouncing the next one. It wasn't even that close, but I thought I'd give you it anyway, because Benna something was... That was good. That was good enough for me. So you pulled one back there, but Roger Hanna got it. Benevento and Alex Schalk was indeed born in the Netherlands. Will we give him that, Gordon, since he said Holland? I know you've got a bit of a...
No.
We're not back to your predecessor. You're now running this show. So.
Great shout. No.
He gets it. I'm giving him it. I'm generous. Aye, come on. And which county in England has apparently launched its own international football team is Yorkshire.
Really?
Did you not know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Did you know that?
No.
No chance, I didn't think so. So Anton, I'm afraid it doesn't look too good on the scoreboard. It's a 6-2 victory for Roger Hanna. Hopefully you'll have a bit more to cheer about when you get to the game tonight.
Hopefully, well done Roger.
Cheers Anton, all the best.
Thanks for taking part.
Guys, thanks a lot, cheers.
Good man, that was Anton. Joe, we've not given away a ball in a while. The pundits have been on top, I must admit. So let's see what Wednesday night holds in store. That was Anton for taking part in that one. Let's get to the phone lines. David's in George's Cross. Hi, David.
How you doing? Hello.
Yeah, good, thanks. Sorry, David. Got you now.
All right, cheers. Gordon and Roger. The actual legend there.
Which one?
No, Roger. No, what it is, guys, listen, Celtic have taken a bit of stick in this Champions League group. Even in the qualifiers when we went away against Astana and it was dodgy for the first 14 minutes or so. But we've improved since last year. Anderlecht are on us with a par in the sense, I think, of ability-wise, where we should be probably in European football. But if you also consider the fact that they do actually get more revenue television-wise than us. They can probably afford players who are a bit more expensive than we can afford. And yet, we should go through tonight. It's not guaranteed, but we should go through tonight. Will we, if that happens, get a wee bit more credit than we've probably been getting over the past 4 months or so. Because I think there's a lot of people trying to shoot us down. That's understandable. It's the way football is. It's just the way people want the guys at the top to be shot down. But I think we're flying the flag for Scotland a wee bit here. And a lot of people aren't giving us the credit that I think we deserve.
I think, I can't remember who said it on the show. Maybe it was one of you guys, maybe it was Hugh Keevans. It sounds like something he would say. But in order for Celtic to get their objective in this group, third place, they were going to have to take some bloody noses along the way. And that's what's happened. And maybe that's where David's coming from, Roger. He feels that on those occasions...
I actually don't think Celtic have a great deal of stick. And I'll tell you why. Because I think there's been a realism, even since the draw was made, that there is such a gap between PSG and Bayern to Celtic and Anderlecht, that everyone expecting it, you know, I'm not saying people expected Celtic to lose 7 and lose 5 at home, but they would expect Celtic to lose by a number of goals to PSG and by a number of goals to Bayern Munich because of the spending gap between the two teams. And we said when the draw was made, before a ball had been kicked on match day one, that the key fixtures for Celtic would be the two Anderlecht games. Celtic were terrific in Brussels. I fully expect Celtic to complete the job tonight and get into the last 32 of the Europa League, which represents progress from the previous year under Brendan Rodgers and the previous 2 years under Ronnie Dyla. And I think going forward now, there is such a spending gap between the big teams in Europe and almost like the second division teams, if you like, that last 32, last 16 of the Europa League, that's good for Celtic. That really is good for Celtic. If Celtic can get through a round or two of the Europa League, it will have been a very successful continental season for Celtic.
Can I come back in?
Yes, on you go, David.
Right. Sorry, Roger, I've got to disagree with you. Celtic, and I'm not just talking about the general football fan banter, abuse, whatever you want to call it, that we've taken. There have been football guys, there have been football media guys that have had a right go at Celtic for taking. We've taken two doings off PSG, absolute doings. And to be honest, in Germany as well, we took a bit of a doing. It could have been more than what the result was. People called it embarrassing twice against PSG. We absolutely get slaughtered. Now, part of that was, I think, from the fans' point of view, wanting to topple the guys at the top of the league. I understand that. I get that point. But there has been criticism that's been undeserved for this Champions League because you're right.
From who, David? I mean, I can only speak for my paper, and I think we've been reasonably even-handed.
You personally maybe didn't do it, but there has been a couple of the English guys had a right go at us. The only time they want to mention Celtic, for example, is when we get a doing against PSG. They don't want to mention anything else. There have been one or two guys on this show, specifically I can't remember what nights it was, so therefore I'm not entirely sure whose name was. You personally, maybe you didn't. Okay, fine, I'll accept that. My point is, it has been there. Now, if that's the way people want to do things, that's up to them. But I think it's time, at the end of the day, we are the flag bearers in Scotland. There is no doubt about that. We are the only, in Europe, we're the only game in town for Scotland. And I think we are getting better. Are we at the top of the tree? No, not in Europe. Are we on a level with Belgium, Holland, the Austrian teams, the Hungarian teams, the Eastern European teams? Probably. And maybe we deserve a wee bit of credit. That's all I'm saying.
And are you saying, David, you're getting better?
Well, we're better than last year, if we go through tonight.
Yeah, I think that there's still a lot of learning for Celtic. I know that you're talking about the English media and pundits down there said that, you know, it was embarrassing for Celtic, it was embarrassing for Scottish football, because as much as you're right in saying that Celtic are the ones that are flying the flag for Scotland, you don't want to see a Scottish team getting the beating that they got off PSG twice. It was a little bit, and players will tell you, they would have been embarrassed with their results.
Okay, fine, I accept that. I don't want to see Celtic beat 7-1 off anybody.
Yeah.
I don't want to see 5-1.
David,
let me finish, Gordon. No, yeah. Let me finish.
Okay.
I don't want to see Celtic beat 5-1 at home off anyone. But we in this, Celtic in this country constantly get thrown at us. You're so far ahead of everyone. You're so far ahead of everyone. Yet when it happens in the reverse in Europe, that doesn't seem to count. Now, yes, I get the fan thing. I understand that, you know, logic doesn't come into that. Because I'm the same. Logic doesn't come into it when it teams against Celtic and whatever. But when it comes to guys who are actually reporting this on Scottish football, when it comes to people who are reporting on European football, maybe they should actually take that in their account, which they don't seem to a lot. I don't want to do this, everybody's against Celtic, because I don't believe that. Mm-hmm. I genuinely don't believe that. But what I do think is we do have a predication in this country where we have to bring everybody down a peg or two.
Okay, thanks to David. Oh, sorry, carry on, David. I thought you were done.
Sorry. And maybe we should start promoting the positives rather than highlighting the negatives.
Okay, thanks to David in George's Cross for his thoughts on tonight's game. We're only half an hour away from kick-off. I suppose David will get many of his questions answered in the next 24 hours. We will see if Celtic make it to the Europa League and what the reaction is. Now, I did say, if you cast your mind back, we were going to hear from Rangers midfielder Jason Holt. So let's do that. The Rangers team have been out and about at the Royal Hospital for Children in Glasgow today, doing the old Christmas visit, handing out some toys, posing for pictures and all the rest of it. Jason Holt says they are playing to impress the new boss, whoever he may be, and insist that he hopes to keep his run in the team whenever that new manager arrives. Holt says doing the double over Aberdeen gives the Ibrox club the edge over their rivals for second place, but says that they can't take anything for granted.
It's great to be back in the team, playing every week and, you know, just helping the boys. The last two results have been really good for the club, but it's about pushing on and building on those. I think it was important that we showed a reaction to the two results, because they were, you know, vastly disappointing results for the club and for us players. So it was important that we bounced back. It was a great result in midweek at Ibrox, where I thought we controlled the game and were deserved winners. And then I think when we went up to Pittodrie, it was a great result for the club, and we showed a different side to the game, especially in the last 20 minutes down to 10 men. We showed real determination and, you know, we dug deep. We won't get carried away. It's only two games, so I think it's important that we build on these, because I think we've showed previously in the season and last season that consistency has been a problem for us, so we need to nail that down. So at the end of the day, it's 3 points a game, you know. We still need to build on these results, and we know we need to show a more level of consistency. Yeah, not just myself, but I think the whole squad have enjoyed working under Graham. You know, he's came and, you know, the least we can give his players 100% hard work, and that's what we've gave. As for a new manager, you know, I think everyone's playing to prove that they deserve to be in the team, and that's the case for any club.
Just before we discuss that a bit further, I like the tweets that came in here. Listen to these. So I said that Rangers were out at the Royal Hospital for Children this afternoon. You can see them on our Twitter feed at Clyde SSB, posing for pictures and so on. Now Barry Quinn has tweeted us, and he's got a big Celtic picture, so he's obviously a Celtic fan, and he says, I've got to say, they were great with Daniel, who I assume is his son, that you can see in one of these pictures. A great bunch, thanks again. And he says, but I'll give you a laugh, I said, Daniel, say hi to another Daniel, holding him up to what he thought was Daniel Candeas. And it was actually Fabio Cardoso. So there we are. There were not two Daniels at all. But I liked that from Barry Quinn. Glad you and Daniel had a good afternoon. What about the comments there from Jason Holt, Gordon? He's obviously he's one of the guys that's back in the team, and we always hear these when a new manager comes in about this clean slate that everybody gets and so on. Rather than speculating about who the manager may be or when he's going to arrive, what type of health or otherwise will he find his squad in when he arrives?
I think it needs a bit of work, Gordon, and I know a lot of Rangers fans may come on and disagree the fact that they've beaten Aberdeen back to back, but over the long term, I think it will need a bit of work. I think it'll need a few transfer windows to see whoever the new manager is, to bring in his own players, his own style of football, how he's going to try and take Rangers forward. I said a couple of weeks ago, and I still stand by it, that there's a lot of dead wood at Rangers just now, and people will be shouting, well, hold on a minute, we've just beat Aberdeen, who finished second, you know, back-to-back victories. But I still think it's a rebuilding job for any new manager coming in, and I'm sure whoever comes in, the first thing you'll need to do is you'll need to get one or two players out to make way for new players coming in.
Davey is a Rangers fan in Pollock. Hi, Davey.
How you doing, buddy?
Yep, all good.
Good evening, everybody.
Hello,
Davey. I can't agree anymore with what was just being said on the phone there. You've got Cranshire and Rossentire, who played for England at under-21 level, captained them, but they're dead wood now, they're unfit. You need to get them out the door. The other thing is, I was going to say, I'm a Billy Davis fan, to be quite honest with you, but McMurtry has done a fantastic job there. Against Hamilton, in the defeat of Hamilton at Ibrox, Rangers should have been 5 or 6-0 up at half-time and weren't. The same against Dundee, Rangers should have won that game in the first half out the park. So my response to the situation is, why don't we give McMurtry the job to the end of the season? And the £2 million we're going to pay Aberdeen to bring Derek McInnes and his staff there, why don't we go and get Jamie Walker and go and get Lewis Malt from Motherwell and spend that money on strengthening the squad, just as it was said, I don't know who it was that said it,
Gordon.
He's saying, bring in, we need new players to build a pool. Now, this guy has got these players playing for him. Every one of them want to play in the jersey now with two fantastic results against Aberdeen. 5-1, an aggregate, basically. That's my thoughts. But I just ask you what you think of that.
The Graham Murty thing's interesting because Graham Murty's been in charge of 11 Rangers games. He's lost twice to Dundee, he's lost to Hamilton, and he's lost to Inverness Cali Thistle. Now, if you put that over the course of an SPL season, he would have lost 14 games. Now, I can't think of a Rangers supporter who would come onto this show and accept losing 14 games across a 38-game campaign. Graham Murty has been landed with this job twice now on a temporary basis, has conducted himself very well throughout it all. I don't think he's got the experience to be a full-time manager of Rangers. I understand he's just beaten Aberdeen home and away. Prior to that, he lost at home to Hamilton and lost at Dundee. I don't think he's ready to be Rangers manager. Rangers need a proper manager to come in and sort things out. I agree with Gordon. Changes need to be made. But if you remember, when Brendan Rodgers came in, Brendan Rodgers was told at Celtic he was going to need to tear the squad up. The team that's taking on Anderlecht tonight, Brendan Rodgers inherited 9 of those players. He's only signed Sinclair and Dembele. So if you get the right manager in at Rangers, then he's going to improve what's already there and, add 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever. But I tend to think Celtic have found out that the most important appointment, the most important signing in a football club is the manager of the first team. Rangers need to get that right. They need to get a proper manager in now, let him manage, and let him improve the players and improve the squad.
Can I come back in for a minute?
Yeah, in you go.
Graham McMurtry is an interim manager. Now, Graham McMurtry didn't sign all the players. He never signed any of them. The last time he took over and done a job for Rangers, he didn't sign any of the players either. That's the point I'm making here. So all of a sudden, he's changed things about, considering when Pedro was in, he's totally changed it about. As I said, he should have beat, they didn't, but he should have beat Hamilton to me and Dundee, but he didn't. Okay, that's 6 points down the drain. But at the end of the day, the players that's there at this minute in time weren't his players. So if he gets the opportunity to bring some of his players in, remember one thing, any manager, any league, has got to start somewhere as a first team coach. And to me, considering he went to Pittodrie and 1-2-1 and played Aberdeen off the park at Ibrox, that was a massive, massive improvement to the Rangers team. Now, I understand where you're coming from, but Derek McInnes has played second fiddle to Rangers, to Celtic, with a massive amount of points over the last few seasons. So what is the team at Ibrox? Until these players are brought in, do you think he's going to make that much of a difference to the end of this season? Because seemingly we are the Celtic fans. They've got a treble wrapped up just now.
Okay, thanks to Davey the Rangers fan in Pollock. We're going to get these to a full-time teaser, and that's coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Gordon DL and Roger Hanna of the Scottish Sun are here. We have some big breaking news this evening. Everyone was wondering, when will Rangers approach Aberdeen for Derek McInnes? They have, and here's Aberdeen's answer. A one-line statement: Aberdeen Football Club has announced this evening Rangers have contacted the club asking for permission to speak to Derek McInnes, and that permission has been refused. So anyone who thought this was going to be a foregone conclusion, better think again, because Aberdeen have refused Rangers permission to speak to Derek McInnes. Roger Hanna, aside from panicking about what your back page is going to look like tomorrow, give us your reaction.
I don't know, panicking. We've got a nice easy back page now. We've got this story,
we've got Celtic tonight,
we've got lots of stuff. I said earlier on the show, Gordon, I thought there would be one more twist in this saga. I think you've just seen what the twist is. Aberdeen issued a statement through the chairman, Stuart Mill, 2 weeks ago, saying Derek McInnes was content to remain as manager. Derek McInnes reiterated that 24 hours later. It was always going to be interesting to see how Aberdeen reacted to an approach from Rangers, because what we didn't know was, and all the figures have been bandied about, what it might take to get Derek McInnes and his team out of Pittodrie to Ibrox. What was unclear was the clause in the contract. Did it stipulate that if Rangers meet this money, Aberdeen were obliged to say, yes, come and speak to our manager? Because tonight, unless Rangers have gone in and offered a figure beneath some sort of activation clause, you would have to believe that the clause in the contract doesn't necessarily allow Rangers or any other club the right to go and speak. If you remember, when Sunderland came in the summer, it was a different contract. Derek McInnes is an improved contract since then. Initially, Sunderland didn't get permission to speak to Derek McInnes. Subsequently, they did. So it will be interesting to see how this plays out over the next day or two or three, bearing in mind Derek McInnes is a big game on Friday night.
Rangers fans, Aberdeen fans, anyone else who's interested, give us your reaction. Aberdeen have knocked back Rangers' request to speak to Derek McInnes. So it looks like this one, Gordon DL, is going to rumble on for a bit longer.
Yeah, I think we've got another few weeks out of this, Gordon. It'll be interesting to see if Aberdeen keep digging their heels in, because you've got the Aberdeen...
Well, the ball presumably then goes into Derek McInnes's court.
Yeah, yeah, he can go in and have a chat with the board at Aberdeen. But they've already come out a couple of weeks ago or last week and made the statements that Derek was very happy staying at Aberdeen. He'd a job to do there. So this is going to roll on for another, I would say, quite a while, to be honest with you, because I think Stuart Mill will look at this and think, nope, you're not getting our manager. We want to keep the manager. We've come out and stated that. They've got a responsibility to their supporters as well. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, or hear what the conversations between Derek McInnes and the Airdrie board are over the next coming days, because that will let you know if Derek McInnes wants to come to Ibrox.
It will also be interesting to see how determined Rangers are to get Derek McInnes. What this has shown tonight is that all the stories in the newspapers were correct. Derek McInnes is the man Rangers want. It might have taken them 5 or 6 weeks to make the approach, but they've made the approach. Derek McInnes is the number one target. Rangers now need to follow this through and get their man, because if they don't get their man, they'll look rather foolish in the eyes of their fans. They'll see Aberdeen, one of their biggest rivals, have the bragging rights over them. And whoever does get the job would know he was the second choice behind Derek McInnes. So Rangers now, having been refused permission by Aberdeen to speak to McInnes, now need to push forward.
Brian's in Lark Hall. Brian, what did you make of that breaking news then, that Aberdeen have knocked back Rangers' request for permission to speak to Derek McInnes?
Yes, Gordon. What's your source? Is it Aberdeen website?
Oh, yeah, it's an Aberdeen club statement. It's official.
Okay, because there's nothing in Sky, nothing in BBC. Surprise, surprise, Gordon. Roger, you come up with a negative slant. What makes you think that Rangers have agreed a compensation fee? They've just asked to speak to the guy, and you're saying that it always comes down to money with Rangers. You know, Hugh Keevans is already, I mean, I went to task with Hugh regarding Rangers and debt. Rangers have got no debt, and he was going on about soft loans, and I explained to him what was going to happen with these soft loans. They were going to turn in the equity, and it was going to be a bigger shareholding, which was announced at the AGM.
And there's a new
share
issue was announced last Thursday night.
Okay, well, you have to look, the situation we have to look at the moment with Rangers is the being down in the fourth tier has damaged the club, there's no doubt about that, and it's taken a long, long time for us to get back to any sort of normality. At this moment in time, Celtic have got access to the Champions League, they've got a viable commercial deal.
Brian, I hope you'll forgive me for butting in. I don't like to do it, but can we keep this to Derek McInnes
in terms of... Brian's maybe misunderstood the point.
I want to try and defend my club here, because every time, you know, there's some of the panellists, not all of them, always comes down to finance.
But that's what I'm saying. Specifically, what is your allegation towards Roger?
Well, he said that He spoke about the compensation. Rangers have not met the compensation.
I think you've missed that. I think if you replay it back,
I think that's exactly what Roger said.
Brian, he's about to explain it if you want him to.
Yeah, carry on.
What we're saying is, there's various, say for argument's sake, for ease of figures, say it's £1 million, right? I think there was a presumption that if Rangers went to Aberdeen and said, we'll give you £1 million, Aberdeen were obliged to say, yes, you can have permission to speak to the manager. Rangers have maybe said to Aberdeen tonight, we'll meet the terms of this, you know, we'll meet £1 million. Maybe it's in Derek's contract that even if potential employers do meet, I'm not saying Rangers are, you know, trying to do this in the cheap, maybe Rangers have gone in with £1 million tonight, but maybe that isn't enough for Aberdeen. I don't mean enough financially. I mean, maybe that doesn't trigger anything. You know, maybe Aberdeen aren't obliged, not just with Rangers, but if Sunderland had come back in, or if Preston or Norwich or Bristol City, maybe actually showing a willingness to pay the money doesn't actually trigger anything that forces Aberdeen to grant permission, if you see what I mean. I'm not saying Rangers are being a skinflint over this, far from it.
You've softened your tone then, right? That's fine.
I'm glad you're happy with my tone, Brian.
As I said, I wasn't happy with it before, you know, before, well, it was after I phoned, but I wasn't sure if I was going on the show tonight. Can I speak? I'll give you my opinion, and I've never changed with day one. I don't think Dennis McInnes is the right man for the Rangers job, but I'm the same as any other Rangers supporter. If Rangers are pursuing the man and they end up getting him, he'll have my 100% backing until it's time not to back him. I'm just, you know, looking at my gut feeling. I hope I'm wrong. Hope he comes in and he makes us 100% better.
Do you think if Aberdeen dug their heels in and repeatedly refused permission for Rangers to speak to their manager, do you think Derek McInnes is the type of man, bearing in mind former Rangers supporter, former Rangers player, do you think he's the type who would resign and force the issue?
I think he would try to force it through. I think people that think that Derek McInnes would turn the Rangers job down are... it's hard to get the right words. I think they're fools, to be honest. So I think, I don't know whether he would resign. I mean, there's no doubt that Derek McInnes is a good professional. No doubt about that. I'm not going to criticise him for that. I'm just not sure he's the right man. Time will tell.
And if we spin it around, Brian, we don't get a lot of Aberdeen fans phoning this show, as many as we get Rangers and Celtic fans. Do you think the board, regardless of what was actually said in the conversation, do you think the Aberdeen board, in the first instance, were always going to knock back an approach because it makes them look stronger in the eyes of their own fans, so that even if Dennis McInnes a week or 10 days down the line is being paraded as Rangers manager, at least Stuart Milne can say to his fans, well, we tried the hardest, we knocked back that original bid. So maybe this is just the start of a very public negotiation period, if you like.
Okay, thanks to Brian and Lark Hall. That breaking news that Aberdeen have rejected Rangers' request to speak to Derek McInnes, that's put me back a wee bit. So we're a bit behind on the full time teaser. But you'll be okay.
You'll be okay.
We'll squeeze it in and then we'll get back to the phones because it's very busy after that breaking news. So Champions League night, fairly obvious. So since Celtic's first season in the Champions League group stages in 2001, eight players from the home nations, so that's Scotland, England, Wales, Northern Ireland and Republic of Ireland, for the purposes of this question, we're looking for the eight players who've scored more than one group stage goal, and from those countries outlined above.
From 2001?
Yeah, so that's Celtic's Champions League history, essentially. So we're looking for the eight players from the home nations who've scored more than one goal in the group stages for Celtic. So for instance, Gordon, Henrik Larsson isn't one of them.
I didn't say him.
Just in case you were about to. That's all.
No.
Okay.
I was never going to say that.
Right.
Eight players.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Henrik Larsson.
Quick, any to start us off before we take some calls?
Yeah, John Hartson.
John Hartson. Easy. He's got two.
Sutton?
Yep, he's got three.
There you go. Larsson?
I'm ignoring you. John is in Airdrie. Hi, John.
Hi, Paul. How you doing?
Not too bad.
Hi, my point is, I was a caller about half an hour ago. He called in and he said his point was about the tackle on Sunday in the Rangers game.
Yeah, I remember it, yep.
The boy has a point there. The two tackles, I think it was the boy's shinny and was it Clay and the second one, Jason Holt?
Yeah, I think so, yep.
They two tackles themselves were
ridiculous. I don't understand why Ryan Jack was sent off when these two tackles got let go. Now, I'm actually a Celtic fan, and I sympathise with Rangers in the game on Sunday. Now, Rangers played very, very well on Sunday from a neutral point of view. I think they deserved the game overall. But that red card, that could have changed the game for Rangers, and they could have again lost valuable points. I just want to see what your point was on that.
Roger, what did you make of those two tackles then in particular? Because I don't think we really got round to looking at them. We got distracted by talk of Ryan Edwards on the last call, didn't
we? The Aberdeen ones?
Yes.
When Graham Shinney initially went in, it was one of those ones that you think, it's almost an orange card, if you like. It could go either way. It was earlier in the game, and he ended up getting a yellow card. And I think for the rest of the game, he was on that. He was trading that very fine line. I actually thought Willie Collum controlled the game quite well. I thought, as you said in the show last night, it could have been a difficult week for Willie Collum. Two very high-profile fixtures. And I think, in the main, you get the vast majority of the decisions correct. But, listen, all these big games, there's going to be one or two talking points about, you know, whether you get them all correct.
Thanks to John, the Celtic fan, and Airdrie there. Just a quick recap on that breaking news. Aberdeen have released a statement tonight saying that Rangers have contacted them asking for permission to speak to Derek McInnes, and that has been refused. Kick-off at Celtic Park and answers to the full-time teaser coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Roger Hannah and Gordon Dalziel are here with me, Gordon Duncan. Lots happening. It might be 7:45, but don't think we're winding down for the night, because Scott Brown has just led Celtic into the huddle as they look to clinch European football after Christmas. Kick-off between Celtic and Anderlecht is seconds away, and elsewhere, as we told you just before the break, Aberdeen have rejected Rangers' approach to speak to Derek McInnes. So looks like this one is going to rumble on and on. I also asked these guys for the full-time teaser. We're looking for 8 players from the home nations, Scotland, England, Ireland, Wales, Northern Ireland, who've scored more than one goal for Celtic in the Champions League. You gave me Sutton and Hartson. What else you got?
Kenny Miller,
yeah.
Liam Miller,
well done. I thought that was one of the tough ones.
Gary Hooper
too, yeah.
Now, I think he was an answer to last night's full-time teaser. Is it Alan Thompson?
Alan Thompson is in there. He's got 3 goals for Celtic at that stage.
McGeady?
Oh, you're absolutely flying. That should get 7 of the 8.
Come on, Roger.
Last one's tough, though, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Last one is tough.
The last one's troubling, is it, at the minute?
Okay, into the early stages of this game at Celtic Park. Just, you know, less than a minute on
the
clock.
Well, Anderlecht on the attack is the first thing you would have to say inside, you know, 50 seconds at Celtic Park. The debate last night with the tactic would be, Hugh Keevan said, they need to go all out attack, or what's the point coming to Glasgow in the first place? It looks as if they're trying to force Celtic back.
Scott is a Rangers fan in Kirkintilloch. We're going to speak to him in a second. Let's speak to Keith from... Well, it's Keith from Kirkintilloch as well. I don't know what's happening. We've got Kirkintilloch crew on the phone, but Keith's an Aberdeen fan, so I'm keen to get Keith's opinion on what's just happened tonight, Keith.
It's a point really for Roger Hannah. I know he spoke earlier this evening about the media across the board had expected that this may happen. However, the major question was, why has it not happened to date, which was a bit of mystery. So the inevitable has happened, and the initial approaches have been made. My message to Stuart Milne would be, if the money is right, let him go. Now, there's 2 main reasons for that. One was the recent transfer activity where Aberdeen have not replaced the quality that they lost. Big example, Stevie May, $400,000, another £100, another £100,000. They potentially could have got Louis Moult from Motherwell, who I think would have been a much better proposition for Aberdeen. And 2, this has been touched on in the media in recent times, that consistently, not all the time, but too regularly for my liking, Aberdeen and Derek McInnes don't do it in the big games. And that's been happening all too often, and there's 2 in a row recently. Roger, your thoughts?
Somebody mentioned Stevie May to me at the weekend, actually. And I like Adam Rooney. I think Adam Rooney carries a threat. I think he probably carries more of a threat than Stevie May. But whether it's Rooney or whether it's May or whether it's Nicky Maynard, it's going to be difficult to score goals when Aberdeen aren't creating that many chances. And I think they're creating fewer and fewer chances without McGinn and Hayes in the team. I think at the weekend they missed Ryan Christie badly. But I take on board all the points you're making. And also, even fast forward to the end of this season, as an Aberdeen fan, you know, Ryan Christie will go back to Celtic, you would think. Greg Stewart will go back to Birmingham. Dom Ball will go away to Rotherham. Kenny McLean's already intimated he's going to leave the club. You would think at Cary Anderson's age, it's unlikely he'll be back after the World Cup to Aberdeen next summer. So whether it's Derek or whether it's someone else, there's going to be another sort of rebuild at Aberdeen next summer. And, you know, it's interesting. Does Derek want to stay and preside over that rebuild? It will be fascinating. I think it will be fascinating to see how this plays out over the next two or three days.
Thanks to Keith, the Aberdeen fan, and Kirkintilloch there. Gordon, a massive, massive chance for Anderlecht inside 2 minutes.
Yeah, they've started really well, Gordon. I know there's only about 3 and a bit minutes on the clock, but they started right on the front foot, which we were expecting. And really, Craig Gordon, terrific save. But if you're the Anderlecht manager, you're thinking, my team should be in front. I think that's a real snip. I think he's got to do better.
It was cut back to him just on,
yeah, and he's
outside
right,
the 6 yard box.
If he picks either side of Craig Gordon, he'll probably put it in the back of the net. But say, take nothing away from the Celtic goalkeeper, he made himself big and he got that save. What a start that would have been, Celtic, for the visitors.
Celtic have just been denied one of the most obvious corners you will ever see, clearly kicked out by an Anderlecht player. Referee says goal kick. So it's goalless at the moment at Celtic Park. Scott is on the line in Kirkintilloch. Hi, Scott.
Hi, panel. How you doing? All right?
Yeah, hey, not bad. Scott, what did you make of that news that we just brought you then about Derek McInnes and Aberdeen rejecting Rangers' approach?
That doesn't surprise me at all, because I think obviously where boards are concerned, there's going to be a cat and mouse game between money involved. It's like I don't know if they've bid something or no, but I think this is just going to go ding, ding, ding for the next couple of days, and I think inevitable will happen that McInnes will be the manager. I don't really know my thoughts on it. I listened to the guy two calls before, and I think the job is too big for McInnes, but I'm the same. If he comes in, I'll stand by him. The thing for me, though, that I kind of get my head around is the board waiting this long, and I've been thinking about it, and I think there can only be one obvious answer on this, and the answer is, when they sacked Casino, they knew that the double header was coming up against Aberdeen, and I think the reason, not in all England, they want to go for McInnes, but I don't think they've went for McInnes because I don't think they wanted to go into Aberdeen with a double header against them, because of the kind of rivalry, so to speak, they have between them. And I think that's the only reason I can put down why we never went to McInnes before now. If that's no other reason, I would love the board to answer why they've waited so long to get McInnes. And seeing you answer that, can I come back to another point about the goalkeeping situation?
Yeah, we'll try and squeeze that one in. Whoever wants to answer it, Roger. Gordon, you keep an eye on the game for us then. Okay. Roger, do you think that double header played any part?
It's all I can think of. If it didn't, I'm baffled as to why it took so long. I can only think a decision has been taken in the Rangers boardroom a month ago that they are going to wait. They'll entrust Graham Murphy with the first team until such times as these back-to-back games with Aberdeen are out the way, and then they'll make the approach. If it's not that, then, as I say, I am somewhat baffled.
Go on then, Scott. Second point.
I'll make it quite quick. Right, if it is McInnes or our manager, I've heard that the last couple of days, obviously, if a manager comes in to rebuild Rangers, we need players. I personally think we need a goalkeeper, and here's one of my main reasons. If you look at Rangers' history, in years and years and years, decades, you had Stefan Kloss, Andy Gorham, Chris Woods. I don't think that the keeper of Rangers got the new is a patch in any way to be. And even if you look back to his free kick, and I don't want to just single that one out, there's loads of reasons, but I think he's poor at free kicks. He didn't learn nothing in that Aberdeen free kick to what he did when they lost the free kick the last time.
It was very similar, wasn't it, James Maddison?
Absolutely similar. I knew the ball was going in the net before Frank Ross took the free kick. I thought if he puts that in there, it's going in. He's very suspect at free kicks all the time. I think he's too busy personally trying to make camera saves, and I think if he just took one step to right and caught the ball, he'd try to make a dive better keeper. He's not got a patch in previous history.
Let me ask Gordon about that, Scott. I want to get your question answered before we have to go. Gordon, okay, Talk about players who divide opinion. Wes Fotheringham is one of them, because we get callers on here saying he's brilliant, and then we get other ones who don't even want him in the team at all. He really does seem to divide opinion.
Yeah, he does. Of that there's no doubt, Gordon. You know, just sitting at Ibrox, and you can hear people round about, he's got a lot of supporters that think he's a top class goalkeeper, and then you've got other supporters that don't think he's any good at all. He does divide the support. I think he's okay. I think he's a decent enough goalkeeper. I think he needs a bit of competition. I think that it would help. Okay, you can talk about the goalkeepers of past, like say the Chris Woods, for instance, Andy Gorhams. They were exceptional. He's not in that class.
James Forrest is down holding his ankle. It looks like he's taking a sore one. Might be okay. He's back on his feet at the moment, just limping. Gordon, with 8 minutes gone, give us a quick update on what's been happening.
Well, I think if you're Anderlecht, you would feel a bit disappointed, Gordon, that you've not put the ball in the back of your net, because they had a great opportunity. They opened up Celtic's defence. Good running behind the fullback, Lustig. Ball played across, and they really should put the ball in the back of your net to make it 1-0. And that would have been the perfect start. But Celtic will just be hoping that it calms down a little bit.
Is it just about Celtic weathering the storm? Because Anderlecht were always going to start quick.
They've not had a lot of the ball,
quick.
Gordon, which is unusual for Celtic, especially at a home game. Anderlecht are really stretching the play. They're making some good passes. As I say, they've come out and they've nothing to lose. They need to go and be on the front foot. They need to be very attack minded, and they're obviously got a game plan. And as I say, they should have been one up.
So Celtic surviving an early scare, but it is still Celtic 0 Anderlecht 0. What's that, 9 minutes on the clock? So we'll keep a keen eye on that in the next couple of seconds to see if we get anything before we go off air. What about the final answer to this teaser? We're looking for players from the home nations who've scored more than once for Celtic in the Champions League. You've got them all bar one: Liam Miller, Aidan McGeady, Gary Hooper, John Hartson, Alan Thompson, Kenny Miller and Chris Sutton. Any more for any more?
It's not Anthony Stokes, is it?
It's not.
Barry Robson. No.
I'm amazed that you got that. Where did you get that from? Where did you pluck that answer from?
I don't know. I just honestly
against the two Danish teams, didn't they?
Honestly, Barry Robson, well done. Thanks to Gordon DL and Roger Hannah for joining me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It is still Celtic 0 Anderlecht 0 at Celtic Park. We will bring you, and Bayern Munich have just taken the lead against PSG as well. We'll bring you all the fallout from that game on tomorrow night's programme. We're back from 6 o'clock. And of course, big developments tonight in the other main story, as well as Aberdeen refuse Rangers permission to speak to Derek McInnes. Callum Gallagher's up next. Don't go anywhere.
Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.